Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right. Back on the air with Jim and Jamal Potts. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in on your Sunday evening or your Sunday afternoon, whatever the case may be. Today, we got a lot of things to talk about. And there's going to be some heated discussions here because I know Jamal and I are going to disagree on some of this, especially on some of these emails. And we'll probably even get some calls on it. Yeah. It would be shocking to know that you would disagree with me. How you doing, Jamal?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Hanging in there.
Good. Just as a reminder to the listeners, Jamal, next week is Father's Day. That'll be the last week that we're going to be doing it this way. Then we will be back in the studio doing it the way that we normally do it. So that the telephone number, in case you want to call in this week and next week, I'm going to hold this up to you. This is the telephone number in order for you to be able to reach us. So take your cell phones and take a picture. And I'm going to hold it there for a second or two. So if you want to call in about anything we're talking about, that would be the number. I also want to reach out. We had some callers last week, and this is a new process for me, and I kind of missed that, that it said on the chat thing that some people were there waiting. So I do apologize for anybody that tried to reach us last week and couldn't. So we've got the bugs worked out, so to speak. So if anybody wants to call in and mention anything that we're talking about or comment on anything that we're talking about, here's the number, and I'll just hold it there for another couple of seconds, and then we'll be good to go. Meanwhile, today we're going to be talking about the active shooter stats, if we get to it, comparison between 2018, 2019, and even before, and also the top, you know, I want to talk about some notable things that police officers have done, because there's a lot of controversy right now about police officers, et cetera, but there's a lot of positives out there as well, and we do have a tendency to forget those. Okay, to get the ball rolling here, though, I want to first do a shout-out. Flag Day. Jamal, you know about Flag Day?
No, tell it to me.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But, you know, Flag Day, you guys, today is Flag Day. So it goes back to celebrating the American flag. And people don't realize that the flag, have you ever seen those ceremonies when they're folding up the flags? Each of those folds means something different. So, you know, just to let you know, I'm not going to go through all of them right now because there's like 11 or 12 folds in it. And I remember some of that when I was an Eagle Scout. But today's Flag Day, there's been a lot of controversy about flags and things of that nature. So let's just keep in mind that the United States flag represents a whole lot of things. It's been around a long time. I know there's some people right now that don't appreciate it, but it really does go back to the early part of our history, obviously. And a lot of men and women have died fighting for that flag as well as fighting for us. So let's just keep that in mind. Today in terms of what the flag represents. Okay, the other thing I want to do is do a shout out on the fact that the issue about these police officers, I just want to make sure that the audience understands that there are 900 million contacts a year between police officers and citizens. 900 million a year. So When we look at these percentages in terms of these issues that come up, I get it. I fully understand that these issues can be detrimental, et cetera. But just to give you an idea, that out of those contacts in 2018 and 19, 995 people were shot and killed by police officers. And that was the lowest number since 2015. Now, the breakdown, 403 were white out of those who got killed. 210 were black. Did you hear that? 403 were white. 210 were black. 148 were Hispanic. 38 were classified as other. And 199 classified as unknown. Now, out of that 995, 47 were unarmed. And out of the unarmed people that got killed, 23 were white. 17 were black and 5 were Hispanic and 2 were unknown. So when you look at the numbers that we're talking about here, about those who were shot and killed that were unarmed, it equates out to 0.00047%. And remember, 17 were black, only 17 in comparison. And I say only not to take that lightly. But, you know, as I've talked about before, is that we want the numbers to be fair. And I know everybody's upset about this. I'm as upset about what happened with George Floyd, Jamal. You know, you and I have had these conversations.
Yeah, let me say this, man, because about those numbers. Because honestly, I get sick and tired of hearing those numbers. And the reason why I hear those numbers, because people use those numbers to their convenience. Now, what I mean by that, me being a young black man myself, I'm always hearing these numbers being thrown around that we're only 13% of the population. And you know what I mean? Yet half the prisons is filled, like, you know, with black people and stuff like that. So when they throw out those numbers that more, you know, white unarmed people were killed by law enforcement, first of all, even if, I don't care what nationality you are, if you was unarmed and killed by the police, that doesn't make it right.
And I'm not arguing that point.
I'm not saying you are. I'm not saying you are, but there are people out there, a lot of people out there that's making these arguments and stuff like that. And it doesn't matter who's being, there's no reason for any unarmed person to be killed. And then the worst thing that happens to them a lot of times is that they lose their job behind it. That's all you lose is a job. I mean, that's.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that, and I don't think the numbers bear that up. But the reality is that I'm not, obviously you're right, I'm not justifying any unarmed person get killed. But here we go again. I don't know the circumstances with the unarmed people. Okay, right. I don't know if they were attacking. I don't know if they were trying to get a police officer's gun. I don't have that information. What I am concerned about is the way that the media exploits situations with the killings of blacks versus the killings of whites. Look, I'm African American myself. I get it. I'm only trying to be fair and balanced for people to understand that the emotional part of this, you got to look at all the numbers because they're talking about Black Lives Matter. I got no problem with Black Lives Matter, but let's face it. There's more than black lives that are getting killed out there. And I think that the police reform isn't going to be just generated toward black people. It's going to be generated toward everybody. And I do believe in police reform. I don't see that as a problem. Well, I tell you what, let's curtail some of this. Cause I just wanted to give those numbers out there. And when you talk about the fact that, you know, how many black people are in jail versus somebody else, look, I'm not going to get into, you know, I mean, I'm sure all those people, Jamal, you've heard the stories. Everybody in jail is innocent. Okay, I didn't do it. All right, that's fine. But you know what I found interesting? I heard something on the news this morning. We were watching the news. And do you know that CVS and Walmart have just announced they are now going to unlock all of their cultural products, Jamal? Now, think about that for a second, minority cultural products. Now, think about that. They have locked up their beauty supplies and things of that nature, CVS and Walmart. Now, why do you think they had all that stuff locked up? Just to stop us from purchasing it?
Because the people in poor communities have a tendency to can't afford stuff. So they in poor communities, they do have a tendency to steal stuff.
Okay. And could that lend itself to why, not to say just in that circumstance, why more black people are in jail?
For that kind of
because
stuff?
That's shoplifting. You go to jail for shoplifting.
Do people
really I'm not saying all the people in jail are for shoplifters, but you understand
right,
my point.
No, I understand that.
For them to announce that we're going to unlock these things, I find that very interesting because why were they locked up in the first place? So now they're going to unlock these things. So we're going to put this stuff out there for you now to be able to do what you need to do.
Because I don't think that's fair. I don't think they should unlock if you have a product. You know, removing nationality or whatever case might be, if you have a particular product that's being stolen on a regular basis, by all means, you should lock it up and keep it safe. Because there are people who take advantage of the situations, and it's just like human nature. If people desperate, people struggling, people going to take advantage of it. So it only
you know what? My sister-in-law, who is in South Carolina, Jamal, she works at a Walmart. You know what she told Brenda and I? She told Brenda and I that at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, because they're open 24 hours, she said you should see the stuff that gets stolen and at night like that, early in the morning like that, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. People were walking out with all kinds of stuff because they have a limited staff and things of that nature. Now they try to catch people, but those are there's opportunists out there. There's people out there that are just going to outright steal. But anyway, let me get into these emails real quick. Dear Jim, the issue of reparations to African Americans has resurfaced again. Just to be clear, I'm an African American and find the notion ridiculous. My friends argue that the Japanese got it and we should as well. What is your opinion? Alma from St. Louis, Missouri. Here we go with reparations again. Okay. We go through this, what, every 10 years or so? You know, reparations meaning that all the black people, because of slavery, should get reparations. So, Alma, first of all, I do agree with you. Now, let's just clear this up. Reparations versus giving it to African Americans versus Japanese. So let's clear it up. The Japanese were interred, okay, were put in these camps, you know, at World War II after Pearl Harbor got bombed. They rounded up all the Japanese people and put them in these camps. Well, that was in the mid-1940s. So let's just be clear. They had a list of everybody who got locked up. So when the reparations came, okay, 30 years later, 35, 40 years later, whatever it was, the government records from the Army where these people were locked up, they had the names of everybody that was locked up, and they should not have been locked up. But you're talking about for a very short period of time, a year or two, or whatever the case may be. They got locked up and reparations to say that they were sorry, end of story. Now, they had a list. They had names. Some of these people were very young. So those who were still alive, they got the money, as I understand it. How are you going to give out reparations, okay? How are you going to give out reparations for people from slavery? Now, I would agree if you could present one person to me that was enslaved, okay, from the 1800s and back, hey, give them some money. But let's keep something else in mind. It wasn't the government that enslaved them. They were individual slave owners that enslaved them, not the United States government. So let's just be clear, because the United States government in 1796 or 1797 stated you couldn't even bring any more slaves into this country. So people already had slaves. They weren't going to take them away because they had a property right. Okay, and that's why they just started breeding the slaves and selling them. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, what about the blacks, Jamal, who actually owned slaves? It was blacks who owned slaves. What about them? How do we justify that? And how do we figure out who is a descendant of a slave in this country anymore? What do you think?
I think it's easy. Cut me a check. The reason why I'm saying cut me a check, look, we just sat here through the pandemic, and I didn't think it was possible for them to do something like reparations. But then I just watched in the pandemic when everybody, you know, was out of work, the country was in trouble, a lot of business owners was getting help. A lot of people in the government started cutting checks to keep the economy going for their benefit and everything else. So since we only 13% of the population, as they say, that should be real easy to do.
Okay, let's stop right there. Let's stop right there. Cut you a check. You, Jamal, what's your family heritage? Because let me just tell you, on your grandfather's side, okay, they're Scottish. Okay, on the other side, it's from Barbados. And on your on your grandmother's side, okay, your grandmother and her parents before her, they had mixed with Union soldiers, Union officers after the Civil War, okay, would have been your great grandparents. So we have a lot of Caucasian in us. So do we get an equal share, or do we get a one quarter share compared to somebody else? How are you ever going to figure that out? Not to mention, what about Caucasians that are descended from some blacks because of the fact that the slave masters, okay, turned around with some of the slave women and intermingled with them, so to speak, okay? And now there's an offspring. He may look white today, but back in his roots, he's got a slave heritage. Do they get money too?
Cut him a check. Hey, here's my thing, man. It can be done. This is the way to bury this thing once and for all. I think overall, listen, we've been at a financial and social disadvantage for a long time, okay?
Okay.
You grew up in the 60s during the Civil Rights era. So from 400 years of slavery to the Jim Crow, I'm one generation removed from all the stuff that happened in this country to the people I come from. You know what I mean? So I don't see it. It wasn't like it was that long ago.
Okay, let's just be clear. Let's just be clear now, because the realities are, is that the government recognizing that there is a disparity, okay, in terms of how blacks can promote themselves, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They came up with affirmative action, and they also came up with the 13th Amendment. All right, so on affirmative action, they came up specifically to help blacks, minorities, to be able to equal the playing field. So that's what they did in order to be. So they had affirmative action in housing. They had it for home purchases. They had it for loans. They had it for businesses. So they came up with all of that. Okay. So they came up with all of that. So they did that because, in fact, they were trying to level the playing field. Matter of fact, California, of all states, turned around in I think it was December, it was in 1996. They did away with affirmative action in California. And now, because of everything with George Floyd, they're now saying that they're going to put affirmative action on the ballot in the fall. So we'll see what the California voters, how they vote for that, to see whether or not they want to bring affirmative action back in California as an example. Some states still have it. Again, to equal a playing field.
Well, you can't equal the playing field that way and that easy. And the reason why I'm saying that is because where we fall behind, that, in my opinion, is other groups have had come from generational wealth. They've had a head start for a long period of time, like a couple hundred years. They've had a head start. So therefore, it's like somebody I heard explain it. If you play a Monopoly with somebody and they get a chance to go around the board 40 times before you do, you're at a serious disadvantage before you start the game. And I think we've been at a disadvantage. And I think there's things that can help us. Look, in terms of...
How much money will it take?
In terms of reparations, it's more than just, I said cut a check, but it is more than, there could be other things that could be done, like free education, things like that. College education, rather.
Things like that could
help.
If they're willing to go.
But there's other things that's what I'm saying. There's more than one ways to do it.
Jamal, the purpose of affirmative action was to be able to help blacks with education.
You need to look it up.
That was the purpose of affirmative action, for them to be able to get in, okay, because of their educational level, the grades, et cetera, were not up to par. Okay, affirmative action was to help them get a higher education.
Right.
That was there. And it's still going to be there.
You know what? Here's another thing to me that's a disadvantage. You know, I was fortunate enough to go to private school. But why the schools in the inner city have a shortage of books? And Beverly Hills High School is a public school that's just a couple miles away, and they got everything they need.
Wait. Different school districts determine all of that. There's different school districts all across the country. I just turned around and sent you something that I found for my mother from 1947. Remember I just showed you that?
Yes.
There was a school district, a book on economics, and we found that because we had cleaned out my grandmother's place a few years ago. Brenda brought some books back, and I forgot about them. And we looked at it the other day. So there was free books, very solid book on economics, okay? So it's not like those things aren't presentable. The arguments that people make, Jamal, about some of these people with education, okay, in the inner city schools, is that they say that some homes are only single parents and, you know, can't maintain them and this and that. Being a single parent and brother, so to speak, taking care and staying with their wives and with their children, those are factors too. And that ain't got nothing to do with affirmative action. It's got nothing to do with reparations. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. There's an inner culture here, Jamal, in my opinion, that also has to be satisfied. So
I agree.
So how much money? Because everybody's talking about reparations, Jamal. They're not talking about these other things you're talking about. They're saying reparations. You started out by saying, cut me a check. And that's exactly what some of these people are going to think. Cut me a check. I guarantee you this. Why did he get more than me? How do you determine how much somebody gets? You give somebody something all across the board. So fine, you're going to get reparations. You're going to be happy with a $1,000 check or $10,000 check or $100,000 check. Trust me. okay? If the dollar amount that people get will be an issue, and they're not going to be satisfied. It's just that simple. It's too far removed. We're talking over 200 years ago about something that happened that the government, in my opinion, wasn't directly at fault with. Okay, these were private people. Let's start in Africa. The way that these people even got here were blacks selling other blacks to the Europeans to bring them here.
No. You know what? Even with that, that part is true. But let me tell you something. Even with that, man, if somebody came off of a boat pointing a gun at you that you don't have those kind of weapons and cannons and stuff like that, yeah, I'll probably go, and I don't have a choice if I'm going to see my kids go to slavery or somebody else's kids in a different district go to slavery. There's a chance that people were scared. Of course, they were going to go do something
okay,
like that.
Okay, Jamal, here's what I would suggest to you. Okay, I would suggest you go back and read the history, because that's not what happened. Because the African tribes, Jamal, were known for capturing other people in other areas, even in Africa, with other tribes and enslaving those people. It had nothing to do with the Europeans coming there pointing guns at them or anything like that. They got certain things, okay, for turning over some of those slaves. Those slaves were already captured people by blacks capturing other blacks. It had nothing to do with that. Now, you know, I was an American history major and a black history minor, okay? Just go ahead and do your research on that before you can make a statement like that, brother.
So you saying that the Europeans didn't use some kind of intimidation?
Like Jamal, what I'm saying was that there was a system back there that they all lived with because what they did, they took slaves when they captured other tribes. They had nothing to do with the Europeans. When the Europeans came in, people think that the slaves were brought over here, Jamal, to pick cotton. And that is not true. The Europeans needed people who knew how to control water. And in Africa, because water is a commodity, so to speak, the Europeans went to Africa, okay, in search of people who knew how to control water. And the reason why that was is because when the Europeans came here, they wanted to do the production of rice, not cotton, rice. All right. So when they went over there and said, hey, listen, we need people, they turned around and sold them to the Europeans and say, well, they know how to do it because they were using them in slavery to do the same thing, to create the levies and things of that nature. So the Europeans bought them because they were being sold and they bought them over here. The United States was one of the largest producers of rice in the world. A lot of people don't know that. And was for a very long time, up until about 20 or 30 years ago, I think. We were the largest production of rice. And what was it about? Controlling the levies. That's why in Louisiana and Mississippi, you hear about these levies and things of that nature. That's right. What it goes back to. But you know what? I'd be interested to see if anybody else has any comments on out there. So if anybody wants to call in, that's great. Jamal, let's get to this next email. Jim, I fully understand why people are upset about George Floyd. I agree about police reform, but find the issue of canceling police shows, second-guessing old movies, removing the Confederate flags from things, movies like Gone with the Wind, and even talking about taking Law and Order off the air. How far does this go? They're tearing down statues. They're tearing up movies, TV shows, songs. This is entirely over the top. I just wanted to voice my opinion. How do you feel? Peter from Miami, Florida. Well, Jamal, we can start off with tearing down the statues. That's a big deal. What do you think?
Tear them down. Listen, man, we don't need to be reminded anymore, you know, about the slavery in this country, the history of this country in terms of.
And you
of
think
all
tearing down
activity.
The statues, we're all going to forget about it.
Listen, I'm saying there's a place for it. Keep it in the museum. Should a Confederate statue or flag be flying in front of any government building? No. Look, the whole point of the Confederate flag is a symbol of division in this country.
That is not correct. Hold up.
Go ahead. I'm saying the perception of it, and they wanted to secede from the Union. So therefore, it's a flag and it's a symbol of division. There's no, it's a symbol of hatred.
I just want to understand. So we take down all the flags, the Confederate flags. We take down the all of the statues. And once we do that, the magic wand comes out and everybody forgets all of this.
Nobody said that, but it's a start. It's a start in the
Please.
Right direction.
It's a mindset. Jamal, first of all, do you know about the Confederate flag?
Why do we even honor these losers? They lost. They lost the war. It's over. They lost. Why do
they
we
were still Americans. Jamal, the flag. Do you know about the Confederate flag? First of all, there was three Confederate flags. There were
not honorable Americans.
Jamal, this has been a country of protests from day one. How do you think we? How do you think we seceded from Britain?
I'm not going to say any Confederate flag, any Confederate general, it necessarily was honorable. Maybe it was honorable to the people that lost, but I can't see them
as... People that were Confederate generals were in West Point. When the war broke out, they were from the South. They simply went to the South because they were Southerners and they were going to fight on behalf of the South. Okay, here we go again with the history lessons. But let me just tell you something. There were actually three Confederate flags. The first Confederate flag was so close to the American flag at the first Battle of Bull Run, it got to be confusing because the flags were so close. So what they did, they created a second one. Okay, the second flag that they created is the one that that most people are now more familiar with. But the first flag for the Confederacy was called the Stars and the Stripes. The second one was called the Stars and the Bars. And that was the one that was similar to the United States flag. And then they came out with, it was Stars and Bars. Then they came out with the Stainless Banner, okay? And then the third one was the Bloodstained Banner. All of those were red, white, and blue. The stars on there represented the number of states, okay, that ended up being the Confederate states. But they kept all of the same American color of the American flag in there, because they still recognize themselves as Americans, okay? They just had a different way of life, and they wanted their way of life to succeed. And that's what was going on. The third flag wasn't changed. That flag that you're familiar with that we see out there, that flag changed towards the end of the Civil War. And after the Civil War, as time marched on, people adopted to the first one because that was a sign of solidarity for them on the battlefield. It was solidarity, and that's what it was intended to be. People look at that flag right now, and now people over the years have grown to associate that flag with racism, and that's not what it was intended to be at the time. It's just that people adapted it to that because they look at it like it was the Confederates, and they were all fighting to keep people in slavery, which is not true.
Okay, let me give you a quick little story. The last time I went down to Louisiana to go visit my family, I went to my cousin's high school football game. I don't remember the name of the high school, and I wouldn't want to really say it if I did know. But their mascot was the Rebels. And the history behind that was when schools started to integrate, these group of people did not want their children going to school with other black kids. So they started their own private school in this area. And the mascot was called the Rebels, with the Confederate flag and everything. So they wasn't the best group of people, and so therefore they used the symbol of division once again. That's why I say that flag is a symbol of divisiveness.
And just to be clear about what I said, Jamal, I don't deny the fact how some people view the flag, okay? They view it as solidarity, okay? The Rebels. So all schools with the Rebels. There's schools out there with a mascot called the Rebels had nothing to do with the Civil War.
Not with the Confederate
South
flag.
Carolina, I mean, the whole United States, they were all considered rebels at one point.
We're talking about the rebels, and their symbol was, they had the flag on there too, the Confederate flag on there. Yeah, the UNLV, UNLV College, they're called the Rebels. They don't have no Confederate flag in their logo.
Jamal, all I'm saying is that I get it in terms of the fact that there are people out there that have a different mindset. I'm not saying there aren't people out there that aren't racist, Jamal. Right. I know that, okay? And I also know there's black people out there that are racist. It's not just any one race. Look, things are not going to change until everybody looks and turns out to be the same color at some point 3,000 years from now. But guess what? If that happens and everybody's the same color 3,000 years from now, the way people think, they're going to start discriminating against people with green eyes, blue eyes. Watch and see, okay? Because they're always going to be somebody disagreeing with somebody because they look different.
Right.
And there was a Star Trek episode, okay, where they had two guys that were battling across the universe, okay? And Captain Kirk was like, why are you guys fighting? You guys both look the same. You know, you both have half your face is white, half your face is black. And one of the guys looked at him and said, no, the white part of his face is on the left side and mine is on the right side. There's always going to be people that are going to argue about this issue of race. It is a mindset. And Jamal, you've heard me talk about this. I think there has to reach a point where and excuse the expression, but to me, African Americans have got to get away from this mentality, what I call a slave-like mentality, and stop. Not all of them, okay? There's some out there that want to say that, you know, the white man's been keeping us down and things like that. There's plenty of successful blacks out there that never used affirmative action, that didn't get sidetracked by all of this stuff, and they're very successful because they put their nose to the grindstone and did what they had to do. Okay, those people are out there. So, you know, and let me ask you a question. Why is it, okay, why is it that so many, blacks are killing other blacks? If we want solidarity, we got to form together. We are too divided even within our own race, Jamal.
I agree. If we want to fix things in our community, we got to work from the inside out.
And they're not doing it.
And then when you take into consideration things that have happened, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but I'm giving you what's going on. You know, in terms of certain areas, certain communities where jobs were removed, manufacturing companies shut down, all of a sudden guns started appearing out of nowhere, drugs and cocaine started appearing out of nowhere in these communities, and people are hungry. When people are hungry, people do desperate things. You know, and I'm not trying to, and we have to fix that problem because, in my opinion, nobody's coming to help. You know, so we have to fix it ourselves and work from the inside out. We got to figure it out somehow.
Well, it's been 200 years and it hasn't happened yet. But let me ask you a question. Even supporting black businesses, they don't even, and I'm not saying there's never a case where somebody black doesn't support a black business. But generally speaking, it's well known out there that blacks don't support their own business, own black businesses.
And we got to start. I think a lot of people have been, what you're saying is correct. I think in some instances we've been brainwashed and things like that. And once again, we have to fix those kind of things. But if you go back to the time period when we've had things like Black Wall Street, as we talked about before in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where there was a group of successful black businessmen, very successful, upscale community and stuff like that. What happened? It got torn down and destroyed.
Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, because I'm very familiar with that, and I talked about that on my show as well. And I'll tell you what I find ironic. Now that we have the issue with everybody upset right now, and then with the current administration, okay, that was going to have some event on that particular day, and somebody brought up the fact that, oh, why would you do it right now? You know, that's the date from the, that was the date, or closer to the date that you're talking about with Tulsa, Oklahoma, right. Black Wall Street. It was May 31st, Jamal, and June 1st. It was 2 days. And it's what happened was in 1921. It was after World War One ended, and they came back from the war, and so many of these whites, once again, were being pushed out. Blacks were very successful. I agree with that. Jamal, that was 1921. That's 99 years ago. 99 years ago. Now, because Trump, okay, and I'm not defending on either side here, all of a sudden now, because Trump was going to hold something around that particular day, everybody's jumping on this issue about Black Wall Street and why would you have it on that date? Jamal, in your age, okay, how many times before this, and I think I've talked to you about this, but let's say up to 2 years ago, before 2 years ago, how many times did you hear on the news anything about Black Wall Street?
You didn't hear it that often. But
that often, you didn't hear it at all. Give me a break. Hey, come on, man. You heard about Black Wall Street because I told you about Black Wall Street.
It's just really coincidental, man, that 45 decided to have a rally.
I'm not getting into that piece of it, okay? Because that's the political piece of it, Jamal, and I don't want to hear about coincidental. I'm not getting into whatever their strategy was. My point is, you mentioned Black Wall Street. Okay, right. I don't think it should have been held at that time. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. My point is, if he hadn't have done that, okay, I guarantee you, we would not have heard jack about Black Wall Street. But they don't talk about it. 99 years.
I've known a lot of people that knows about Black Wall Street. I do. Like, you know what I mean?
And I said on the media. I said the media. I'm not saying there aren't individual people out there that know about it. When have you heard, oh, we need to celebrate this, we need to do this, we need to memorialize this day for that, for what happened? You know, 99 years. Jamal, I could tell you, I didn't know anything about it up until a few years ago. And I was a Black history minor, and as I told you, and an American history major. This stuff is from research and looking stuff up. But other than that, you don't hear about some kind of annual thing where the news gets, even during Black History Month. Why did you bring that up? You don't hear about it because it's not controversial. You're hearing about it now because it's controversial. Let's get to this last email.
All right.
Jim, let me say from the beginning, I don't mean any offense toward Black people, but it seems like all of the attention is now toward Black people, and Latinos like myself are forgotten. Black Lives Matter. What about other minorities? This is all one-sided. I don't think it is fair, and it makes some of us mad as hell. I just wanted to voice my opinion. Thanks. And there's no name on this, okay, or where it was sent from. Okay, here we go. Once again, you're hearing this person saying that all of the attention now and the focus is just on Black people. Black Lives Matter. What about everybody else? Jamal, what's your comment?
Man, listen, that's another thing I'm getting tired of. Just because people say Black Lives Matter is not saying that other lives don't matter. We are addressing.
Come on, how are people taking that, Jamal? They're taking this Black Lives, okay? Black Lives. And everything the media is talking about and other people are talking about surrounds Black people, not Latinos, right. Black people.
And what happened? Every time Black Lives Matter is saying something is because an unarmed Black person was killed. And so, therefore, it brings up that present situation. And they're saying, like, hey, that man's life matters. That woman's life matters. Listen, you know what? Every October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. What about colon cancer? What about testicular cancer? What about brain cancer? It's not saying those other things don't matter, but it's addressing the situation.
Jamal, people get very sensitive. Look, I tell you what my attitude about it is. It's the media. The media goes to whatever is hot. That's it. Okay, so right now, Black people are in. And Latino people are out. What happened a year ago, Jamal? We had the caravans. We had this. We had that. You know. We had all of these issues going on. Okay? We had all of these issues going on. And then now that something else came up, they're the forgotten people now. That's the point that the person, I think, is making. Because before, that was all you heard about. Blacks were complaining because why are you giving free medical to Hispanics? Why don't you give it to us? Why are you giving free education to Hispanics? Why aren't you giving it to us? You follow what I'm saying? So So we were complaining because they were getting all the attention. And now they're complaining because we're getting all the attention.
Hey, nobody's
it's media driven.
Right. But listen, to the Latino community, man, because I got nothing but love and respect, man. Your voice should be heard at all times. That's plain and simple. Everybody's voice should be heard. If you feel like there's an injustice, man, by all means, you should speak up. You should protest. You should rally.
Okay, we're adding a caller here. So, yes, let me see if I can get this person on. Is the caller on?
Yeah, Jim, I'm here. I think I'm locked. I'm into your meeting is what I'm into.
Don't worry about that. At any rate, how you doing?
Yeah, it's Jim from Jersey. You know, I've called a number of times.
Hey, Jim. Oh, yeah. How you doing, Jim?
Jim. How's it going?
Yeah, I wanted to call now. Make sure there was time for them to talk. You guys are really going at it, so I better call it now.
That's because Jamal doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, Jim. But
right, me.
Well, a couple of things, Jim. I agree with you on one subject, but I disagree with you on another subject.
Who, me or
the
Jamal?
The subject I agree with you, Jim.
Okay.
On the issue of reparations, no, I don't think it should be the reparations. I mean, slavery was solved 150 years ago. I mean, resolved.
Well, about 200.
And like you said, how do you determine, how do you determine who gets money and how much money? How do you determine that? Unless somebody can actually prove they were descended from slaves. How do you determine that? I mean, that would be a logistical nightmare.
Jamal, before you answer that, I got an email, and let me read this email, okay? And we can all comment on this. This person emailed me and said, I want to interject on reparations. If we pay blacks in America, then we need to pay indentured servants brought here from Ireland and other European countries at that time, and the Chinese for the hurt they endured during the time our railroads went in. Now, what about that? Now, that's a good point, too.
Hey, I agree. Yeah. And I think they should get in line. So we get ours first, and then everybody else fall into place.
Okay, so wait, we get ours first. So now, okay, understand. So now we got to pay the blacks. We got to pay the Chinese. Okay, we got to pay all the Irish people. Okay, they came over here during the Irish potato famine, because I know that's why they came over here, because that's what the whole issue was. And that was in the early 1900s, I believe. So now we got to pay all of these different people, and we got to figure out who's from where. Interracial marriages, all of those kind of things. Jim, Jamal, you were getting ready to comment on Jim. Go ahead, Jamal.
Yeah, Jim said slavery was resolved. But just let me remind you guys that slavery still goes on in our country. And what I mean by that, if you look at the prison system and the way that they using these prisoners for free labor and things like that to prison has become a big business, and they have used these prisoners for free labor. So therefore, that is another form of slavery.
That is not true. They are paid a certain amount of money, Jamal, okay, that when they get out, okay, they have a certain amount of money that they've earned when they're in the system. And there's also unions within that system, Jamal. I forget the name of it, but there's prison reform, okay? So that's not necessarily true, okay? So getting into the fact that there's slate, Jamal, these are criminals that lost their rights, okay? And that's a lot different. Jim, what do you have to say? Go ahead and finish what you were going to say, Jim.
Well, I wanted to make sure I got on the other topic, too, regarding just this one I agree with Jamal on the Confederate flag. You know, the Confederate flag, as I was listening to you guys, I looked up the Charlottesville 2017 protests, and, you know, a lot of white supremacists were there, KKK. And they're carrying one with groups carrying a Nazi flag and also carrying a Confederate flag. So, you know, to Jews, the Nazi flag is repulsive, and to black people, the Confederate flag can be repulsive. But the Confederate flag is now part of the white supremacist movement. It represents white supremacy. So it's not as great thing of the Confederacy or the Civil War and all that. Now today. In 2020, that represents, for many people, white supremacy.
Let me agree with this. I'm not saying, because Jamal made a comment earlier about Confederate flags not being on some of the state flags, and I don't really disagree with that. Okay, so let me make that clear. Okay, on government buildings and things of that nature, and there is a mindset out there that some people look at it in terms of racism. These groups that use the Confederate flag, not in a manner that it was initially intended, but they use it, and it has become from solidarity to being looked at as racism. So I don't disagree with some of what you guys are saying. I'm only trying to make sure that I'm giving a fair and balanced show here to show both sides of the coin. That's what my intent is. What I feel inside my heart about some of this is a little bit different. Okay. But I don't want to be one-sided when we're talking about this stuff, because there's nobody out there defending the other side. Somebody's got to do it to show that. What about this? What about that? Now there was a race car driver, as I understand it, that said that he was not going to do NASCAR anymore because they were taking down the Confederate flag or whatever the case may be. I personally think that's ridiculous, but if that's part of what he feels his heritage, it doesn't necessarily make him a racist. It could just be that that's part of his heritage, and he doesn't see that being a big deal. And, you know, why take that down? What has that got to do with anything? I don't know. Okay. I don't think he should give up a profession behind that. He doesn't like it. Okay. You don't like it, but hell, I'm still going to drive my car and make my money.
You know, what's funny, NASCAR representatives responded, said they had to look his name up to even know who he was.
But so, see, there you go. But there you go again. Because he made this statement, and media wants to jump on it and take it over. I'm telling you, part of the problem we have with this issue that you're talking about, people being, you know, diversive, is because, I'm telling you, it's the media. The media is only happy when they can keep the narrative going. Hey, years ago, you guys remember when Jamal, you don't watch baseball, but Jim, you remember when they used to have people run on the baseball field and the camera would be watching the guy on the field run all around the field? Remember those days, Jim?
Oh yeah. Then okay, they eliminated it because they didn't want to. They eliminated it. They eliminated showing them on field now because they don't want to encourage people to do that.
That's my point, okay? And what happened? People stopped running on the field.
Yeah.
So I'm showing you that if the media would stop sensationalizing some of these things. I'm not saying that some of this, you know, isn't you know, we need to hear about it. But believe me, if there is one little riot of 10 people in some little obscure town in Oklahoma, we'll say, the media will blow that up and put that all over the news, and now it gives other people ideas. It's like when there's an earthquake. Jamal, how many times have one of our relatives called us when we get a little tremor out here and one little building lost a brick? Okay, what does the media do? Oh, my God, there was an earthquake in California, and look how this building was devastated. That's the only building that got devastated.
Devastation sells, tragedy sells. People, it gets views, and unfortunately, people look for worst case scenarios. It just gets more views, more ratings.
The one thing that that's my point. Okay, yeah. You can't control the media because it's the First Amendment. Yeah. That the first thing that they scream is First Amendment, freedom of the press, freedom of the press, freedom of the press. Okay, the press is very, very powerful in this country. Okay, they can get people elected. They can get people not being reelected. They can make decisions on things, Jamal, and that's the crime of it, in my opinion.
I agree.
It can be too powerful, but they're going to sweep them down. They got the First Amendment rights to be able to do what they want to do. Hey, look, in this last 4 minutes, Jim, I want your opinion, and Jamal, yours too. We're going to switch to the sports side real quick. And Jim, I appreciate your calling in on that and giving us your opinion. But, Jim, did you hear that Major League Baseball players are now complaining that they want to be able to get, okay, all of their salary? Now, they normally play, how many games do they play, Jim? 140 games, 150 games, or whatever. They want all of their salaries, okay? They want 100% of their salary, even though they're only going to be playing 50 games. It's the union. The union is saying that the players want all of their money. Major League Baseball is saying, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do 70 games, 71 games, and still give you 70% of your salary. No, we want the whole thing. Jamal, I'll go to Jim first. Jamal, I know you're not really a baseball person, but you can still comment on it. Jim, what do you think?
Well, I mean, if they want any season at all, they should be compromising. I mean, that's ridiculous. They're going to play half a season. They expect a salary for a full season?
Give me a break.
That's ridiculous. So
they don't want to feel the same pinch the rest of us have felt? Now, you know I'm a big New York Yankee fan. Okay, so I'm looking at it like, come on, guys, you know, and you want your full salary. You're not even going to have people in the stands. You're not even going to have people in the stands this year. Not that that matters, because I'm still practicing. I'm still hitting a baseball. I'm still pitching ball. I'm still catching a ball, and I get all of that. But everybody has felt some kind of pinch from this pandemic, and they want 100% of their money. Jamal, what do you think?
No, I think they shouldn't get these. They should get what they you know, what they're paid to do. You know, you get paid by the games you play, or however that works. I mean, you know, if we all in it together like they say they are, you know, like everybody say we are, you're going to have to feel the pinch, just like we all do. I don't see why they should be exempt, but, hey, fight for your money, man. I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to tell nobody not to fight for their money either.
You know, I tell you something Britton always mentions, okay? Britton always says, like, when these guys are supposed to be pitching, some of these pitchers are paid $1.5 million or something for every game that they play, because they're getting $300 million a year or something like that. And they turn around and have a bad game. Why don't we start subtracting the money when I'm paying you $1.5 million to get out there and win, and you throwing balls, okay,
hitting batters. Every other night.
Exactly, okay, and putting people on base in tight situations. They ain't gonna do that. I guarantee. Or I hit you a ball and you don't catch it. You drop it and a run scores and we lose the game. That's never gonna happen.
Yeah.
That's never gonna happen. At any rate, okay, you guys. Well, Jim, listen, I I'm glad that you were able to get through. Jamal, looks like we didn't get to the other stuff that we had planned to get through. If you had been a little bit more knowledgeable in what you were saying, I didn't have to go through a history lesson.
No worries, but I had a good time proving you. I have a good time proving you wrong again.
Well, maybe next week I'll call back again, because I had something else I wanted to. You don't have the time for it now. A possible solution to all this racial problems, racial tension in the country.
Jim, you've got the solution next week. No problem. Please call back in.
I'm looking for everybody. Tune in for
this. If you give me 30 seconds, I can tell you.
Well, I'm looking at the time, because we're going to get backed up. It's 3:49. We have to be off the air at 3:50. But that's okay.
All right. All right. I'll save it for next week.
But Jim, I would enjoy you calling back next week. So that's okay.
Please do. Please
all right, then, you guys. All right. You've been listening to Jim and Jamal Potts and Jim from New Jersey, actually, as well, on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show. Hey, be sure to join us next week and do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then, be aware, be vigilant, and also please be safe out there. Until next week. Take it easy, Jamal.
All right. Have a good one.
All right.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.